my honor today to bring this pulpit, Brother Cantrell. I don't know that he's going to share any of his testimony, but he's got a tremendous testimony of how God brought him back into the kingdom and called him into ministry and what God has done with Brother and Sister Cantrell. They've got a daughter that's also a missionary, her and her husband. We partner with them as well. And so we're thankful that Brother and Sister Cantrell are with us. Would you welcome them one more time as they make their way to the pulpit today?
He's been so good to us. He's been so good to us. We raise our hands and just thank him one more time for his goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. You may be seated. Thank you so much again, Pastor, for the opportunity to speak in this great celebration service of Global Missions. We've known their family, or Crystal, since she was about 15 years old. And so we've got a bit of history, and then here comes Mark sniffing around. And he won the prize. My wife and I have talked about this the last 24 hours, about how godly proud we are of this couple. You've got a tremendous pastor and pastor's wife. We deeply love and respect you and your family for what you're doing for the Lord. I'd also like to thank my wife. I call her Machete, my wife Jen. We've been married some 43 years, older than most of you. And if it were not for the grace of God and Jen, I would not be here today. I'm going to ask Jen to come and see if she's got something she'd like to speak into you on this Global Mission Service. Come all the way up, baby. Come all the way up, baby. And get you. It's
okay. Hello. Praise God. When Brother Blackburn was talking about the faith promise, I had to giggle. And I leaned over to Ken. I wasn't planning on speaking today, but I thought, I just have to share this because it shows how faithful God is when you step out in faith. So in the beginning, when Faith Promise came to Life Church, it was one of the first times that we were taking these offerings. And we were just, I mean, we had three babies, and we were weekly, paycheck to paycheck, making it. We were poor. And, this petition came out to us, and we're sitting there like what you all are today, and we're like, oh, how can we do this? I mean, so we just put, okay, $50 a month. We're going to do it, $50 a month. So we wrote it, we turned it in, and it's like, okay, God, it's in your hands now. Well, we had saved our pennies all year long to take the kids to Branson for the first family vacation ever. And so we get in, we're going on the trip, it's in the fall, we're going down, having a great time in the car, pull over to get gas, kids are doing great, Ken runs in to go to the restroom, goes to the men's room, and he comes out rather quickly, gets in the car, and takes off down the road. I thought it was a little peculiar that he was moving so fast, but here we go. I thought maybe he's just in a hurry to get to Branson. So we're Texas, that's right, we're Texas, not Branson. So we're down the road about a couple miles, and he pulls out of his jacket, and he's got a white envelope, and he says, open it up. And I look, and I open it up, and it was a lot of money. It was a lot of $20 bills and $2 bills. And I'm counting it, and I'm counting it. It was $720. And I'm like, where did this come from? He goes, I found it on the floor in the men's bathroom. And I'm like, what? And so my heart's racing. We're just kind of trying to keep it to ourselves and just like not let the kids hear it. And going, driving further away from the gas station, going further and further. It's like, okay. So about 40 miles down the road, 40, 50 miles, we're like, okay, we can't keep this money. We know we can't keep this money. We're just going to put it away, as tempted as we were to use it on our trip and our time down south. But we didn't. We put it in the glove box. We thought, when we go home, we're going to stop at this gas station and give it back because we were only going to be down there a couple days. So then we go on, we have our weekend, and it was a great weekend. During that time, the air conditioning blew up, and so they comped our hotel completely free. We got the whole 3 days we got free because of the air and all that. And I believe, I want to say, I can't remember, but I feel like there was a meal that even was paid for. But anyways, so the Lord just was blessing, and we're having a great time. So on the way home, we knew what area we were in. And so we went off this exit, went off that exit, went off the third exit. We could not find that gas station. We knew it had the chicken. That's all I remembered, that it had the chicken in the proximate area. We finally find it. So we get to the gas station, and he goes in, and he's just like, okay, I'm going to go in by myself. You stay here. I wanted to go with him to see, you know, because I was so anxious. Nobody had claimed the money. Nobody said anything about it. He said, I found a large amount of money. He didn't tell him how much. He said, I found a large amount of money. I want to give it back if somebody, no, sir, nobody has claimed it. We're just going to tell you that it's yours. He goes, well, okay. And when he was explaining it, he said, well, we were in that white van there, and she looked up, and she's looking out the window, and she goes, that white van? Yeah, you didn't pay for your gas. She goes, you've been reported. We reported you last week because you drove away without paying for your gas. He was so beside himself. We were so excited to find that kind of money. He totally forgot to pay for the gas when he went in. So, of course, we paid for the gas and all that was done. But the Lord, so I calculated it up, $720. God gave us a bonus. It was $600 that we had for faith promise that we pledged. We had an extra $120, plus we had our hotel comp for. So that's what God can do for you when you reach out, step out in faith.
So your missionary that's speaking to you today is a thief. I'm a bandit. I steal money from men's restrooms. I don't know how that happened. Thanks, babe, for exposing my weaknesses. I love you very much. And to another however many years we've done this. We arrived in Moshi, Tanzania in November of 1996 on an exploratory trip to see if what we were feeling from God was really from God. It took us about 24 hours to realize that God had called us, or as I would say, sent us to West Africa. And 13 years later, that's how long it took for us to arrive in the land that we spent the next 17 years. This church has been a part of our ministry and missionary service. You faithfully supported us. You faithfully given. You faithfully, once a month, sent in your monthly pledge. You're changing the world. You're making a difference. You're doing something for God. Since 2008, we were appointed to Burkina Faso and Niger, West Africa, and with God's help and a ton of grace, we built the Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center, where many men and women, including Muslims, are being baptized in Jesus' name and formed for ministry. You have been a part of that. Thank you for loving missions. On April 19th of last year, we transitioned as regional director to Eurasia North Africa region. It's a new region, and over only 3 out of the 31 nations that we are responsible for are 100% Islamic. God knew what he was doing when we were dodging bullets in Burkina Faso as he was preparing us for these nations. He does all things well, and I thank God for that. But this church is impacting the world. Thank you. I also serve as the Access Challenge Director. There are 34 of those, and when we talk about Access Challenge nations, those are nations that must reach 2 of these 3 criteria for us to put them as Access Challenge. The first is little or no known apostolic presence. The next is persecution of the gospel or to the gospel, and then limited visa access. So if they reach 2 or 3 of those criteria, then we consider them an Access Challenge nations, and ideally, most of them are 100% Islamic, or we also have nations like North Korea that may not be Islamic, but they're close to the gospel 100%. One of those nations is Algeria in North Africa, a nation that we are aggressively, and when I say aggressively, we are aggressively going after. There are 125,000 refugees in the desert of Algeria. They've been there for some 50 years, called the Sahrawi people. And Jen and I, we took 2 weeks last year, last November, and spent time in that refugee center. It was, we took medicine, we took some food, we took candy for the kids, school supplies, and even some sports equipment for the school. These people are amazing. The families actually gave up their homes, moved in with other relatives, and gave us their home to sleep in. They don't sleep in on beds, and so we had these little mats on the floor that we would do it. And I really didn't know what we were getting into when we signed up for Algeria. I had images of rats running across and maybe inside my sleeping bag at night, maybe a few scorpions or cobras. We just really didn't know. But it was quite comfortable cement floor, if they could be comfortable, and we had no critters. But after being in war-torn Burkina Faso for so many years, it brought back those memories of war, and it brought back those memories of poverty. As we laid there, we are planning to go again in October and starting to work on that trip. In fact, I'll be booking our airline tickets today when we get home. And be able to speak about the oneness of God. What it is, it's religious dialogue. And we go in and we meet with the large imam or the Muslim leaders of that nation and discuss what we have in common. The one thing we do have in common is we believe that there is one God and only one God. And we believe that we need to live separate from the world. We do have a small project that we're raising money for. Pastor can mention that if he'd like to later. I've got just a quick video I want to show you of the Algeria refugee camp that we'll be staying in. I do ask that you pray for us while we're there. We are picked up by military in Tindouf. We go in on special visas. You can't just get a visa to get into that nation. They will pick us up. They'll take us there. We are watched and controlled, everything from our devices, seeing what we're doing, what we're saying. In fact, last time we were in Algeria, I had a man approach me, and I could tell that he was some type of a secret service. And so it's a pretty cool place to be, if you call that cool. And so let's run this. It's just a 2-minute video.
In the heart of the desert, where the sands whisper forgotten stories, a people wait, not for the rain, nor for the wind, but for a world that remembers them. They are not nameless. They are not voiceless. They are stories waiting to be told, hands reaching for hope. The desert camps located in Tindouf, Algeria, is the converging ground for a resilient people group named the Sahrawi. From border to border of the territory, you will find families that are comprised of visionary men, strong women, and hopeful children in desperate need of food, water, shelter, education, and basic needs. Due to political conflicts, this warm, hospitable people group lack the resources that the North American church is privileged with every day. Decades in exile, yet their spirit does not break. Even in the harshest winds, a flame of hope still flickers. But hope needs hands, it needs voices, it needs you. It was a scene just like this that when the prophet Isaiah spoke over, when he powerfully declared, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." Please consider joining hands with the Sahrawi people through financial giving and prayer, and let the God who doesn't leave us in the desert come alive as Emmanuel, God with us, to those that feel forgotten, and let living water be the streams in the desert through Algeria.
Can we pray for Algeria right now? This is a 100% Muslim nation. Father, we love you and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for Algeria. I thank you, Lord, for the open doors that you've given us. I pray, God, that your word would do the work in this nation. Go to Algeria, Lord. Speak to the men. Speak to the women. Speak to the children. You see these babies, God, in the desert with no running water, barely any electricity. I pray, God, that you would take care of them. I pray, God, that you would bless their homes and bless their health. Keep your hand up on them. I pray, God, that even this trip that we're going to in November, God, that one of these men, one of these leaders would catch a revelation of who you are. God, that we would see, Lord, an underground church rise up, God, from the sands of Algeria, do a great work. In Jesus' name. There is a divine rhythm that pulses through the heart of heaven, a relentless, unyielding pursuit of the one. Not just the one in your neighborhood, but the one in the nations. Not just the one in our chairs, but the one in unreached villages, the crowded cities, the refugee camps, the war zones, the jungles, and the deserts. Having lived in West Africa for 17 years and now serving in Eurasia and North Africa, I'm convinced that God saves one soul at a time. Still, he is calling to that one nation in the world who will not hear his voice. This is the love of God, that he would leave the 99 to chase after that one nation, that he would descend into the filth of a pig pen to whisper the identity back into a broken soul, that he would run and not walk to them. Like toward the prodigal son, his arms are wide open, his heart is exposed, robe and ring in hand. This is not just a story. This is the gospel. This is the mission of Jesus Christ. This is the heartbeat of heaven, and it beats for the nations. I was struck to the core when talking to another missionary, or as we call them, reps, in our region, when he began to explain the utter darkness of his nation. He spoke of the filth and the things that go on just in the neighborhood, just down from where his babies and my grandchildren are actually sleeping. So today I want to talk to you a moment about this, and this is the title of my message, The One. Luke 15, 4 through 7. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 90 and the 9 just persons who need no repentance. In a world that is obsessed with productivity and numbers, if you're in the banking business or if you're a real estate agent, you're always looking for that gain, that return on your investment. You're always looking at the big numbers. But Jesus flips the script when he says, I see the one. I see the one in the Himalayas. I see the one in the Amazon. The one in the slums of Mumbai. The one in the underground church in Iran. The one in the refugee camp. I see the one in Olathe, Kansas. To the shepherd, it's not just a statistic. He or she is one soul. The one is a story. Global missions is not about reaching the masses. It's about reaching individuals like you and I. It's about seeing the face in the crowd. It's about knowing that every tribe, tongue, and nation is made up of the ones. Leaving the 99 was risky for that shepherd. He was put himself in a vulnerable place. But love always takes risk. Love always sacrifices, and it always pursues. How far did that shepherd go to have to find that one lost sheep? The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know that he got to a place and left that 99 to go look for that one that was lost. What type of shape was he in when he returned back? Was his feet dirty? Were they marred by the thorns that he had to walk through to maybe get that little sheep out of the thicket? I'm sure that maybe he didn't smell so good because he took that sheep and he put that baby up on his shoulders and carried him back home to where he belonged. He didn't put that little sheep on a cart where his Armani suit would not be wrinkled, but he carried him close to his body. Jesus did not just preach this parable. He lived it. He left the glory of heaven, the safety of the throne, the adoration of angels to pursue the one. He stepped into time, into flesh, into pain, into rejection, all for that one. And that one is you and I. And now he calls us to do the same. He calls us to leave family and friends and sometimes even grandchildren to go to the ends of the earth to reach that one. Please hear me. God may not call you to India, Africa, or even Algeria, but there are nations outside of these four walls where God is telling you to go. In Matthew 28:19, it says to go to all the nations. That word nations is ethnos, or ethnic groups. You don't have to go out of the U.S. to reach the nations. You don't have to get another stamp in your passport to go and win the lost. Because the nations are right here. Your one is in this city. Jesus never gives up. He doesn't say, I tried. He doesn't say it's too far. He doesn't say they don't want to hear what I have to say. He doesn't say it's not worth it. He just goes after that one until he finds it. This needs to be the persistence of the church of the living God. This must be the persistence of the church in Olathe, Kansas. This is the cross church because you're directing people to look up to the hills from which cometh their help. And that stubbornness of love that we have for lostness and humanity has to push through the borders of languages and cultures and governments that try to stop this pursuit. God does not stop, and neither should we. Imagine with me if God had stopped after one invitation to you. What would have happened if he would have chalked us up for lost and walked away? But Jesus Christ, he pursued me. Jesus Christ, he pursued you. Jesus Christ, he went on a look for you, and he's still looking for that one who needs to know who he is. I believe there are two going to be baptized here today. And I believe that today you are that one that he is searching for. God does not abandon the search. He will chase down that one in every nation, every tribe, and every tongue until he finds them. And in Luke 15:11-32, it gives us another glimpse of the heart of the Father. You know the story. The son demands his inheritance. He leaves the comfort of his home and he goes and he squanders, he parties, he does his things, he drinks his booze, he smokes his cigarettes, and he finds himself living among the pigs. His job was to take the slop probably from the market that was close and pour it in, and he was starving and he was alone. But then in the midst of feeding the pigs, something miraculous happens. The Bible says, when he came to himself, the pig pen is not just a place of filth, it's a place of identity crisis. This kid forgot who he was. He forgot where dad's house was. He forgot the robe. He forgot the ring. He forgot the feast. He traded his sonship for his own desires. This church that I'm here today is not here just for the preaching. It's about entering into the pig pens of life. It's about stepping into the darkness, stepping into the mess. It's about bringing light to a lost and dying world. You know, I travel the world and we travel all over the U.S. And in every church, I want to get close to the members and see if I can see just a little bit of dirt underneath their fingernails. Not so much from the harvest of the fall when you're pulling your pumpkins, but are you working in the harvest of men? Let me see your fingernails. Is there a little bit of dirt under your nails where you got out there and you pulled some weeds and maybe you dug a little bit around some? I want to get a little bit closer and see what you smell like. Do you smell like you've been in the world? Not a part of the world, in the world. You know, different people have different odors. If your field is your school, when you come in from class, you've got a certain odor that mom and dad can smell on you. It's not the bad bologna sandwich that she put in your lunch. It's that you've been working the field of your school. You're speaking into the lives of the kids that you're a part of. Maybe you smell like your work just a little bit. It's the smell of somebody working in the fields of your work. It's a certain smell. Even when you give to missions, there's a smell. A certain smell of givers that sacrifice. It's a smell of blessing. It's a smell of grace. It's a smell of mercy. Hear me, if we're going to reach this world for Jesus, we're going to have to get a little bit dirty. We're going to have to be like that shepherd that went out and took that long walk calling for that one lost that was there. But it says, and he came to himself. This is the turning point, Brother Brown. Not when the sun got clean after a 2-hour shower and got the smell of the pigs off of him. Wasn't when he got home. But his turning point came when he remembered who he was. He remembered the Father's house. He remembered his love. He remembered who he was. This is the work of the Holy Ghost, to bring people to themselves, to awaken identity, to resurrect memory, to stir hope. This is what we do. This is what you do. You help people remember who they are by loving them to Him. I'm not finished, and we've got some more to go, but I'm going to have you stand with me and as a musician comes. Cross Church, it's your job to help people remember. Remember that they're loved. They are the sons and daughters of God. I'm talking about the nations that are in your city. I'm talking about your kids. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your friends. The son begins the journey home in his mind, and I'm sure he's rehearsing his apologies. Dad, I'm sorry. I just wanted to hang out with my friends. I'm sorry I left the house. I got overwhelmed. It was just too much for me. Dad, my bed, is it still there? Did you give my room away? And he's waiting to see what Dad's going to say. Dad's going to say, "Oh, you foolish kid, go back to the pig pen." But no, Dad, It says he sees his boy from afar off. And he begins to run. And he embraces him. He doesn't wait. He doesn't lecture. He doesn't shame. He runs. He embraces. He restores. He throws a party. This is the essence of grace. This is the smell of mercy. That the Father doesn't just accept you, He celebrates you. He doesn't just forgive you, He restores you. He doesn't just welcome you, He honors you. This is the message we carry to the nations. We carry this redemptive message to Burkina Faso, Algeria, Syria, and even Russia. The Spirit is not passive. He is active. He is searching. He is speaking. There's a whisper in that wilderness when the sheep is lost. Spirit whispers, "You are not forgotten." When the sun is broken, the Spirit whispers, "You're still a son." The Spirit doesn't shout condemnation. He whispers identity. He reminds that Maasai warrior. He stirs the heart of that North Korean prisoner. He awakens the memory of grace in that Syrian refugee. Spirit doesn't wait the people or the nations to get out of the pig pen. He meets them there. He doesn't recoil from the stench or the smell. He speaks life into death. He speaks hope into despair. He speaks truth into lies, life. He says, "Olathe, you are more than this. Afghanistan, you are loved. Syria, you are chosen. Egypt, you are mine." This message is not just about being the one, it's about seeing the one. And not just seeing the one near us, but the one that is far from us. The one in the nations. Jesus saw the one. And he calls us to do the same. Can you raise your hands and begin to pray? God, give me the eyes to see the one that you're leading me to. Give me the ability to love outside of myself and to see those. Help me, God, to love those that are not like me. Help me to see people as you see me. Help them, God, to look through the lens of your eyes and see what could be. Because God, if it were not for your grace and if it were not for your mercy, none of us would be in this place today. God, we are that one. First Corinthians 13 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up." It says, "Love does not behave rudely and it does not seek its own. It's not provoked to evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. And if I could add to this, what God is telling this church is that love goes and love reaches and love gives. Love simply just loves. I'm going to invite everyone to come to the front and go ahead and grab your faith promise card. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor here in a second, but I want us to all come as a family. This is a family. This is body of God. I don't want anybody back in the shadows. Come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. Listen, I need you. And you need me. We need each other. That's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ, our love for one another. And I know that this is not a church that was established some 50 years ago. It's maybe 5 years old, 6 years old. Let me tell you this, if you've been here for 6 years, you've been here for 6 minutes, there's a place for you in this church. There's a place for you at the table, the kingdom of God. We need you. Because you can reach people that I can't reach. God needs you. He needs your voice. He needs your hands. He needs your breath. He needs your worship. He needs your love. And he needs you to love. Let's throw our hands up one more time and just thank the Lord for his love and for the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for a giving church. God, not just finances, but giving of their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the time, God, that goes into every service and what went forth last night, the time of the food. It was a sacrifice. It was money. It was costly. It was all done, Lord, to give you glory. Receive glory today, Lord, in our lives. Let our lives be a living sacrifice that's devoted to you.